will discuss how we can break some verbal bad habits this hour, like using the word like too much, or you know, or other filler words. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, August 22nd. Our communications guest expert will share some tips on how we can eliminate or reduce filler words from our speech, and we'll welcome your pet peeves and maybe your confessions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Audrey Mann Cronin, a digital culture entrepreneur and a communications consultant in consumer technology, a writer and speaker, and founder of Our Digital Daughters, creator of the mobile app Like So, which launched the category of speech fitness. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So speech fitness, what exactly is speech fitness? I like that term.
We talked about Like So, the app, being your personal speech coach, and we thought there should be a category where you practice your speech like you practice football and baseball, and you're a saxophone and your violin, that we should practice our speech as well. And so we thought, to keep that going, it's your personal speech coach, you train, and so forth.
I get it. And we'll get more into the details of your app in a bit, but why is it important to have fit speech?
We want to be confident, articulate speakers, because the way we speak and the way we are, it affects how we're perceived. And we want to always give the best and most powerful sense of ourselves. We want to be empowered when we get up and speak in front of people. And we don't want to interject likes and so's and anything that could lessen our credibility and invite unnecessary judgment.
Mm-hmm. Why do you suppose like and so and other filler words make us sound as a distract from our message?
The truth is, many of us use them and they're fine. And they're almost a way of bonding today, almost a tribal form of bonding, because so many people use them, especially our youth, and it's just the way they speak. It's when they become excessive, when you say like 5 times in every sentence or end your sentences every single time with you know or right or so, that it starts distracting people and they start maybe even counting every time you say like or so. And it really tends to water down what you're saying, and again, it's just not an empowering way of talking.
We noticed a piece written by a writer who noticed her daughter was saying like in a public speech. She didn't even realize her young daughter was using like as much as she was, and it embarrassed her, and she didn't know what to do. You're saying that young people often use the word like, but if you use it excessively, then it's a problem.
Even my friends use it, and I'm not a Gen Zer or a millennial. I think it is contagious. There's a couple of things that I point to that I think it's my contention. Why is it? I call it a verbal fashion trend. It seems to be something that's caught on. It is post Valley Girl speak. If you remember Valley Girl.
I do. I was going to say that. I remember this being an issue some years ago, and it still is. Or maybe it's a little different.
I think it's even more pervasive. I think there are more fillers, and that we have this celebrity culture that reinforces these words. They call it the Kardashian effect or the Valley Girl effect. I also think oral communication, I've heard and read studies and spoken to teachers and professors, is not prioritized as much as it should be in education. So whereas when I was growing up, I was forever doing book reports in front of the classroom, I don't think that is worked into the curriculum perhaps as much as it should be. And then I really do believe that communications are changing at internet speed. Our heads are down. We're texting instead of talking. Our kids are on their social media channels all the time. They're tethered to their phones, and they have so many channels to communicate on that they're reducing their opportunity to have these articulate face-to-face conversations. And then when it comes to real-time conversations, they're literally at a loss for words, and they're filling those pauses with filler words.
Whenever we do a program on language pet peeves, the filler words come up all the time. People will say, it drives me crazy when people say, you know, or like, or so. Why do you suppose this bothers people so much?
It's true. And I have to say I'm guilty too. So when you hear me say so 10 times, you can certainly point a finger.
When I say, you can do the same thing. Yeah.
The truth is, I think we do, it's comfortable to land on these. I think we're afraid to brave the pause. We're afraid to just let that quiet space go by. As for why it bothers people, it's distracting. I went to see my daughter is going into her senior year, and there was the admissions officer up there speaking to all of us parents, and she ended every sentence with, okay. And I, myself, of course, I'm tuned in, but my friend poked me and said, she's doing it. And you stop paying attention to what they're saying. And I think that's the issue. We want to be taken seriously. We want to get a seat at that table and have people really listen to what we're saying, the substance of what we're saying. And when we inject these fillers, we take away from that.
And not only was okay a filler in that case, it also was a question, and it made her sound as though she was not sure of herself.
Yes, that is. So that's called uptalk. They have a term for it. And it's that upward glide that ends what should be a statement or a proclamation into a question mark. So it's used often to gain consensus and likability. You want to draw people in. And I find it male and female used in business a lot just to keep people listening, but more of a female affectation. And if the stakes are high, it's not really the best course to constantly end everything is if you're unsure.
Is this the filler words and the uptalk and other, verbal bad habits?
Yeah.
Is there a gender difference? Is it more women than men, or are you saying in most cases it's equal?
I think it's equal, but I think women have so many obstacles, particularly in the workplace, and that they don't need another one getting in their way. I heard as many men, now that I've been so tuned into this and have been as a communications consultant, the way people speak is always on my radar. And I've trained as much men as women in how to speak. And this is in terms of speaking with the media. But I do think it's men and women. I think boys do. I have a story I wrote, Boys Do It Too.
Boys will do it too. It in terms of
yeah,
like.
Boys. Well, they may have their own. They may have their own. Like is pretty pervasive. That seems to be the one that everybody loves.
Are there certain fillers that boys use more than girls do?
There was a study on and ah, and so how did it come off? It was either more women than girls use and men use and vice versa. So there have been studies that look at specific words to see if they're more pervasive within, you know, the sex, male and female. I think that it might be a lot of teachers have told me that boys do a lot of umming and ahhing in class.
I noticed,
mumbling.
And we have just a minute before news break, and then we'll take some calls and comments from listeners with their questions or pet peeves, and we'll get more into how we can eliminate or reduce our verbal fillers. I just said. I noticed that you will pause every once in a while in your speech because are you consciously saying I'm thinking of what I'm going to say next, and I'm not going to say you know or like?
Yes, we do need to brave the pause. I have 10 tips to say it like so, and one of them is brave that pause. Let your head catch up with your voice and really and allow yourself pause. As you know, even if you watch film or any form of entertainment, you're saying something even when you're not saying something, and it's important. And then when you don't, if you don't pause, then you're sort of tap dancing your way around the light, and it just kind of goes down from there.
We'll be sure to get into your other tips. There was one, brave the pause, and we'll welcome your questions and your experiences, your confessions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about our verbal bad habits and getting some tips on how to get rid of those verbal bad habits with Audrey Mann Cronin. She's a digital culture entrepreneur, a communications consultant in consumer technology. She is also the founder of Our Digital Daughters and creator of the mobile app Like So. And we are talking about how we are hearing more young people, especially, using filler words like and so. But you probably have some verbal fillers of your own. Do you have any verbal pet peeves? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Tell us before we start taking calls, Audrey, what does your app do? Does it shock us if we say like or so?
It doesn't shock you. What Like So does is these three goals. We wanted to bring awareness to our feed, give a way to practice, and then coach you through it. So when you speak into the app, it uses voice recognition technology. It captures your words. And it tells you how many fillers you use. And we looked at 14 different ones, like, you know, so, right, totally, whatever, and so forth. And it captures those words. And after you go for a session, so there are two modes. One mode is called freestyle. And in freestyle, it's just your open mic. So if you have an upcoming presentation you want to work on, or an audition, or any kind of upcoming public speaking opportunity, you speak into it, captures your words, and then in real time, it gives you back your results. And we talk about an articulate percentile, so it might say, well done, you're 92% articulate. You said 500 words, 10 of those were fillers, the three were likes, two were you knows, one was a so, two rights, and so forth. And then it also gives you your pace, and we work with 150 words per minute being the average in terms of optimal pacing. If you're giving a presentation, it would be slower. And so it gives you results and you can save them and then practice and hopefully get better over time. The other mode is called Talk About. And in Talk About, we give you categories. So you can choose things from the interview, debate team, speed dating, pop culture favorite, teen scene, and so forth. And then we cue you with different prompts. So if you're in the interview, it might say, what's your greatest strength? Or are you a team player? And then you can choose either 30 or 60 seconds to talk about each prompt, and you get 5. And then the same thing, it captures everything, and then it gives you your results in real time. 95% articulate, you're eloquent, or 85%, practice, 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 and so forth.
And practice, practice, practice probably will help, but if these are ingrained in you for years and years and years, it's a hard habit to break, isn't it?
It is. But there's nothing pathological going on. It's just a behavioral habit. So it's like anything we do, we need to practice. And it's all about awareness. As soon as you become aware, and I find when I speak to my friends about this or any business partners and so forth, they immediately become self-conscious and they say, oh, no, I know I'm going to say a silly word. And I say, don't worry, it's okay, because we all do it. But it's about, it is a difficult one, but it is about being aware, practicing, and then having some form of a coach, whether it's a parent or a friend or maybe using Like So to have something with you, something private and personal. We wanted to create this app to be both fun and also effective. We wanted to give people a fun and effective way to practice.
Before we end, I do want to get to some of your other tips. You mentioned before our news break that you have 10 tips to speak confidently and articulately, one of them being brave the pause, which I'm going to try to do during this interview. But we have so many callers already. Let me go to the phones. George in Manitowoc is with us. Hi, George.
Hi. Yeah, I just thought I'd share one little story. When my daughter turned 12, she started using the word about every fifth to tenth word. And it took me 2 years, but I finally broke her of it. Every time she'd go I would put my index finger to my thumbs and hold my arms out and go, And she'd go, "What are you doing?" And I'd go, "Oh, I thought we were chanting."
That's great.
But anyways, you were talking about coaches and something that a friend of mine, how she got over her issues was Toastmasters.
Yes. I've been to a
international
bunch of Toastmasters.
where they do public speaking.
Yeah, so how about that type of practice, Audrey?
Yes, I've been to a bunch of Toastmasters. Many people have said to me, like, so is Toastmasters in your pocket? Toastmasters is excellent. It's they do that. They have somebody called either the grammarian or the counter or the counter who, when you get up and speak, picks off how many times you say or. And that's a terrific way. It's such an empowering thing to go to a Toastmasters class. I loved it when I went.
What do you think of George's technique of the meditation, a reminder to his daughter?
Very clever. I've heard so many parents have told me they have all sorts of tricks. This one's particularly original, though.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you, George. Let's go next to Valerie in Green Bay. Hi, Valerie.
Good morning.
Morning.
I love this show.
Good.
My husband and I moved here from Kansas City. And I won't say the city that we moved to, but it's one along the lakeshore with a strong German heritage. And the word that puzzled us, and we tried so hard to keep our children from learning, was Enzo.
I think that's a regionalism.
It is very regional, but it is a filler where they... Yeah. Say and so, and they raise their voice at the end of a sentence.
And so, it's sort of like and so? Or
I think so. I think it actually comes from German, and it's short for something like es so recht, meaning is that true or is that right?
Yeah, is that right? Yeah. And so, did and so, I said.
And so?
did your children.
But it is a filler,
did you stop your children from using and so?
I did that, but my grandchildren, who are living in New Mexico, have this valley thing about like. I think I want to get the app for some grandchildren. It would be cheaper than voice lessons.
It's only 99 cents. It's cheaper, yes.
Yes, the other thing that I noticed that's very common, and I do not think that's regional, is instead of pausing, and they use a filler, but at the end of sentences, which should have a period, they raise their voice like it's a question.
Right. You missed us talking about that in the beginning, I guess, Valerie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was speaking to the...
No, that's fine, but that is true. That's another pet peeve and something that's very common. I think this is interesting because I said, and so did your children... That was a transition, or was that a filler?
There are so is a transition word, and again, even with the app, we're counting every time you say like or so or whatever. But sometimes those words are used correctly, and right now the technology is not there. I'm sure it will be soon, where it can discern between the correct usage of like and the incorrect usage, or so when you're using it as a transition word, and so as a filler. We're not there yet. Again, it's not meant, we don't want to be diagnostic to the point of rendering us all speechless. We just want to bring awareness to it so we're confident speakers. Public speaking is terrifying. They say it's the, well, not to everybody, but they say it's the number two phobia in the United States and probably elsewhere. And if you practice and become more confident about your speech, then you won't be as nervous. You'll be more empowered.
Thank you so much, Valerie, for sharing that. Next, we go to Katie in Green Bay. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good, how are you?
Good. This is the perfect topic of conversation. I work with a woman, and I'm on my way to work right now to work with her. So we work very closely, and she, for months now, inserts genuinely, generally, and literally into every sentence.
Oh, boy.
Multiple times, and it's driving me crazy. So I said something to her, and she shook it off. Like, she didn't even really acknowledge that she does it. And she kept doing it, and this has been months.
Katie, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you say you did specifically bring up to her, do you realize you use genuinely,
yes,
generally, and literally in every sentence?
I brought it up to her, and she kind of laughed it off, and she goes, oh, I never do that at home, and she kept right on. Like, she barely acknowledged it, that it's driving everybody nuts at work.
So is there anything that Katie can do aside from that, Audrey?
It's very sensitive. The way we speak is a sensitive topic. And if you spend any time looking into the exorbitant amount of media coverage, there's been a lot of coverage, particularly about women and the way that they speak. Women seem to be the ones that are written about, maybe because we are we're more apt to want to improve ourselves, so we are more sensitive. But, and I say that, and all the men say, no, we want to improve ourselves too. But it is a very sensitive topic. So there are ways. I always feel that if you say, I'm guilty, I always say this word, so, I always say whatever. Did you notice? I notice that you say and bring it upon yourself. It's how to deal with conflicts in a work situation. And with speech, it's tricky. But I do have literally, by the way, like, so does capture literally. It doesn't capture generally and genuinely. Those are good But I think if you bring it upon yourself and maybe get a discussion going, and I think that could help.
Yeah, that sounds right. People use literally incorrectly, too. They'll say, I literally jumped out of my skin. And it was like, no,
yeah,
you really literally did not do that.
Right. Yeah, Michael Phelps was given a hard time. The Washington Post wrote a story and quoted him, and all over Facebook, they were picking on him because he used the word literally incorrectly. And so I ended up writing a blog post about that.
We are talking about some of our verbal bad habits, focusing quite a bit on the filler words that so many of us use, like and you know and so and whatever. But we'll certainly hear from you if you have another verbal bad habit that annoys you, that you hear in others, or maybe that you use yourself. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Audrey Mann Cronin. She is a communications consultant in consumer technology, a writer, a speaker, founder of Our Digital Daughters, and creator of the mobile app Like So, your personal speech coach. And you said that's just 99 cents, so that's not a huge investment to try to improve your own and people do this if they're adults who want to give a speech. They want to practice improving their language before giving a speech.
Absolutely.
That sort of thing.
It's a great way. I've done it myself. Just turn your phone on, speak into the microphone, go into this freestyle mode. And you can save your results and practice over time. And it's very helpful. When people try this the first time, they say, oh, I had no idea I said anyway that many times.
Anyway.
It's kind of an eye opener or whatever that those words are. Yes.
So you mentioned earlier that one of your 10 tips is brave the pause, and that's what I'm trying to do. What's another one of the top 10 tips?
Well, so the first one we've talked about, which is to be aware of your own verbal habits, and that's really the primary one. And we talked about uptalk, which is don't end every sentence as a question. Speak with conviction, right? Mm-hmm. I talk about not apologizing all the time. This was one that I was particularly guilty of. You might talk to people that put in little sentences like, I'm sorry to ask you this, so if you don't mind, I'd like to. And you don't need to start every sentence with an apology. It is nice sometimes if you feel that you're interrupting, but apologies get in the way too.
Mm-hmm. So did we go through all 10?
And sorry then, Mike, so.
And that sounded like about 5 of them. Are there more?
Oh, do you want them? Oh, do you want
sure.
them? Okay, sure. Okay, I say what happens in rehearsal ends up on stage. So prepare before an interview. You can even use a video camera, stand in front of a video camera, and make sure that you practice beforehand. I think it's a good idea to find a great speech from an eloquent speaker, somebody you think is particularly great, and read it out loud and feel what that feels like coming off your own tongue, and then you can maybe recognize more so what a good speech sounds like. I have avoid the baby voice trap. To this is, I guess, a female thing, to feign innocence and try to elicit sympathy, and you raise the register of your voice, so don't do that. Vocal fry is something that's gotten a ton of attention. Vocal fry, for your listeners that don't know, is that crackly voice. It sounds like you're running out of air at the end of the sentence. It's something that's used in singing when they teach people how to sing and hit that lower register, particularly women. But it's really made its way into our pop culture. And there are a lot of actresses, even in TV shows, like Girls, I think, has a character in there that uses vocal fry all the time. There was a study that came out, it was from, I believe, Duke and the University of Miami, that said women, not men, but women who use vocal fry sound less confident, less attractive, and are less hireable. So, again, it's fine to do this with your friends, but if you're going on a job interview and you have the same resume as somebody else and you're equally qualified, it pays to work on your speech fitness. Make sure that you are practiced. We practice so many things, but how we speak is the single most pivotal thing we can do to get ahead in life.
Let me
keep going, Joy.
let me share. Brian on Facebook says, I am out of touch as to the origins of modern verbal conventions, but verbal filler combined with uptalk and vocal fry caused me to turn off many radio programs these days. I suppose every generation has its quirks, and maybe as we age, we become more intolerant, but the convergence of these annoyances make me want to scream. A lot of points there, but in the minute or so that we have before our news break, the convergence of these annoyances, sometimes people have all of them, huh?
Yes. Yes. That's very interesting. I have to say that my mother doesn't do this and her friends don't speak like this, so it does seem to be a more recent phenomenon. It does seem, and it really seems to be epidemic with the younger generation. And the uptalk and the vocal fry, well, vocal fry, I believe, is a contagious pop culture sort of thing, the Britneys and the Zooey Deschanels and the Kardashians. But that's very interesting.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk more about how we can avoid verbal fillers and how maybe we can teach our kids to avoid these filler words like and you know when trying to get a point across, and how we can maybe stop the uptalk, stop the vocal fry. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a pet peeve or a suggestion to share. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about verbal bad habits. prompted at first with the filler words that young people today say probably more than we did when we were kids. Words like and whatever and so. You know is another filler word. We're talking about how we can break these verbal bad habits and how we can help our children break these bad habits. We're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming any verbal bad habits that annoy you and your suggestions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Audrey Mann Cronin, a digital culture entrepreneur, communications consultant, writer, speaker, founder of Our Digital Daughters, and creator of the mobile app Like So, your personal speech coach, which launched the category of speech fitness. We have many calls, many Facebook posts. Charles on Facebook says, in an anthropology class in the 90s, I read a piece about gender-differentiated speech patterns in which women, even highly educated and qualified women, were more likely to insert qualifiers such as kind of and sort of to subconsciously soften the assertiveness of their statements, even when the qualifiers canceled each other out in phrases like really, kind of. Do current communication studies note less gender differentiation in youth speech patterns than previous generations? Did you follow that, Audrey?
I did. It's very fascinating. There is a study going on at the University of Michigan where they're looking at sexes in the classroom and fillers. And who's and probably all those other kinds of words, the kind of's and the sorries and those transition words. That I think it did come out that girls use them more, and it's again about likability and not being aggressive, not sounding bossy or aggressive. And there's so much that's been written about that as well, but it is fascinating. And it's something we want to, this is why I started Our Digital Daughters. I've been working in technology my whole career, and I've often been that only female at the table. And I had to figure out a way to make sure my voice got heard and that I inspired other people to listen to me, and it wasn't easy. And I think that's why I started Our Digital Daughters, to talk about the social and communication issues that are affecting our girls.
I'm guilty of that. When I was a boss, I would say things like, would you mind getting that story done on time, rather than get that story done on time.
Yes, yes. And it's a nicer way to be. There's nothing really wrong with it, unless it's a high-stakes situation, or really you just don't need to. It's just not necessary.
Right. Let's go to Kevin in Brilliant. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say a great place for kids to learn public speaking is 4-H. We do in our 4-H program public speaking and demonstrations. And at the club level, kids are officers. They get the chance to do public speaking there as well.
All right, 4-H. I didn't realize 4-H did a lot of that, but that's great. Talk a little bit more, Audrey, on how kids might... I don't know. We're not going to turn off the TV, or are we, in terms of teaching our kids not to use filler words?
Right. Well, one thing I talk a lot about, because I've been working in tech my whole career, I find it fascinating, is just our changing world of communications, how we're using texting instead of talking, and we're not having as many face-to-face interactions. We are... kids use Snapchat to say, check me out, I'm here, look at what I'm doing, instead of being together, and how that impacts our socialization and our communication. I know that Sherry Turkle, who's an MIT media psychologist and expert, wrote a book called Reclaiming Conversation, and she talks about how we're losing empathy for each other because we're not looking each other in the eye. I'm sure you've been out to dinner or just anywhere anymore, and everybody's looking at their phones and they're not looking at each other. So it's not even anymore just turning off the TV. I believe that this use of social media, this tether to our phones 24/7, absolutely is having an effect.
So taking the phones away at the dinner table might be one possible way to do it and encouraging
definitely.
Conversation.
Definitely. So people say to me, okay, Audrey, but you created an app.
Mm-hmm.
what are you doing? And I am definitely somebody that advocates on behalf of technology. I've launched so many products into the market, but I think we need to humanize the technology at the same time. So I say I want to turn our smartphone addiction into a solution, meet the kids where they're at, meet people where they're at. Everybody's got their phone going, but give them the apps that help them be more productive, empowered members of society. Help give them things that are useful. Games are great too, but how about some apps that are fun and also really helpful?
Tim in Madison is with us now. Hello, Tim.
Good morning. It's a very interesting show. Two fillers that I've experienced from people that I've known that have actually two different effects. One is at the end of every sentence, this person would use "and that," but then it's kind of regionally condensed to "and that," and it becomes extremely distracting when this person talks. And then the other one that I've experienced personally is the use of "do you know what I mean?" At the end of every sentence or many sentences. And not only is it distracting, but it actually becomes quite condescending after a while. So I'd be interested to hear your comments on that.
Do you know what he means, Audrey?
I do. I've experienced it myself, Tim. Again, it's a filler. It's something that is so contagious. I don't know if their friends do it or their parents do it, and you just think that that's the right way to talk because you're not being absolute about things. There was this great story about what's that term? I feel like. Instead of just saying "I am" or "this is how it is," people preface their sentences with "I feel like." And this story in the Times, this researcher, a psychologist, I can't recall, was upset by that. She said we should just say how we feel. We don't need to interject that into every sentence.
I'm seeing people, or I'm sensing that people, when they use that, and I've heard "do you know what I mean?" quite a bit in speech, is they're looking for reassurance that you're following them, or that you understand where they're coming from or where they're going. It's filler, but they still want some sort of reassurance that you're listening to them.
It's that brave the pause thing. It's okay. You're allowed to speak and have your say without being concerned. And I know it comes off as patronizing to always say, you know what I mean? But I think you're right. I think in the end, it's more about this insecurity about saying things that you think people really care to hear. That's confidence.
Let's try May in Chippewa County. Hello, May. Do you have a verbal bad habit you want to share?
Good morning. It kind of just goes along with your last call. I've first noticed it actually on your programs on your station, where educated people are your guests, and yet they start every sentence almost, many of their answers and other sentences besides with I mean this, I mean that, and they haven't said anything that they need to explain what they mean yet. And I find it very distracting, and I think when you hear educated people talking that way, I hear it more and more and more. Other people are picking up on it, and I think those things have to be brought to our attention or we don't fix them. I found that in many patterns that we've had in our speech that when you realize you're doing it, then you can fix it.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with being smart. People that use fillers can be the most brilliant. There's nothing relative to how educated you are. It is contagious. It is a habit. And like any habit, as you say, you need to first be aware, and then you need to practice and maybe be coached, maybe go to 4-H or Toastmasters or use like so, or ask your parent or a friend to point down every time you say "I mean" or "like" or whatever your fillers are.
Let's see. I think we have time for one more call. Kelly in Jefferson. Hello, Kelly.
Hi. My pet peeve I hear a lot is people stuttering over their words, thing. I think, you know, stuff like that.
Well, thank you, Kelly. Sure.
I was not able to hear Kelly.
Yeah, she just was irritated when she would hear people stuttering over their words and saying, I think a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all, that's filler words, presumably.
Right.
Yeah.
Awareness, that caller that said that she has a coworker that says all those words, it's hard to go up to somebody and say, you know, you say this all the time. So it is a sensitive topic, but done the right way, I think it's important. Obviously, I very much care about empowering people and being confident, being a confident speaker. It's a great skill.
So in our final minute, do you have success stories people can learn to avoid or eliminate verbal fillers or other bad verbal habits from their speech?
I did have this wonderful, maybe the single best thing that's happened since I launched the app. I heard from a high school girl who had social anxiety, and she found out about some kind of online social anxiety group. And she got like so and has been using it. She takes oral communications, and she said it saved her high school career, which I can tell you that warmed my heart. It was all the affirmation I needed.
Yeah.
If I could help one person, just the ability to practice, she said, getting up in front of her classmates and even with her peers, having a way to practice at home really helps her.
And that's going to not only help her in her high school career, but it'll help her well beyond high school.
Right. I mean, once we get out into the quote-unquote real world and you're going on a job interview or you're at a networking event or you're giving a big presentation, or we have speed dating built in into this app as well, it's life. We talk to each other. If we're not on our phones all the time, then we actually are talking to each other, and we do want to come across well.
Thank you, Audrey Mann Cronin, for being with us. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Nyasia Ellison and to Brianne Shasso for producing this program. This is the Ideas Network.